Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Join us for the next hour as we take a look ahead to all of the sporting action on the Isle of Man and beyond this weekend coming up on tonight's programme. Peel could close in on the Canada Life Men's Premier League leaders, and the promotion race is hotting up in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 as the latest Manx football fixtures beckon this weekend. In rugby, it's now or never for Douglas in their quest to reach the Regional 2 Northwest playoffs. Ramsey and Vagabonds are both on home soil in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League, and Douglas Celts have the chance to wrap up the Hartford Homes Manx Shield title on Saturday. Racing action returns to Jerby Airfield this weekend for the second round of the 2026 Andreas Racing Association Championships. We'll get the lowdown from one of those involved on what happened last time out and what's to come this weekend. Elsewhere, one of the Isle of Man's national hockey teams is gearing up to take part in an England Hockey Championship final across the water tomorrow. And we hear about the plans underway for the 2026 Isle of Man triathlon season. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 29 minutes to 6. Hope you've had a wonderful week so far. Looking ahead to the weekend, plenty going on in football and rugby across the Isle of Man in the crunch phases of the respective seasons as well. We're going to be taking a look at motorsport and triathlon as well this evening. Going to turn to football first of all, and after a busy midweek schedule of fixtures across the senior men's leagues, it's a quick turnaround for much of the sides going into the latest round of action on Saturday and Sunday. Joining us in the studio as always, our football correspondent Tony Mepham. And Tony, I suppose before we actually get into the weekend action as well, with the backup of fixtures this season because of the weather over the winter, I guess you were glad to get a good scutch of those fixtures out the way on Tuesday and Wednesday evening.
Yeah, the weather's been playing ball, Rob, but it's good to have. And we're going through them thick and fast. We're starting to shift them very well, to be honest with you. And when you look at some of the league tables, just looking at the Premier League one in front of me, clubs play 24. And when you look at Corinthians on the top, who it's their free week today, or tomorrow, I should say, is play 21. And when you look at Ayr United, 22, only two to play, and they play one of them tomorrow as well. It's starting to sort itself out. We know the problem clubs, you know, Moran, Malou, certainly have got problems in Division 2, but the rest of them not looking too bad.
Indeed. Let's take a look then at what's going to be taking place on Saturday. So all games bar one kicking off at 2:30pm on Saturday in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Six games are scheduled. Starting out in the south of the island, and Russian United starting the day seventh in the table. Only played 18 so far. One of the teams to have played the fewest games in the league so far this season, in the top flight at the very least. They're going to be hosting Union Mills this weekend.
Yeah, and I think on this one, it's maybe switched a little bit because Union Mills have put some good performance in of late, and they've been scoring plenty of goals. Tyler Hughes, one of them, but notice Luke Booth's back in the selection lineup for Union Mills, which gives them a big plus in front of goal. And when you look at other players, Lewis Hicks has been playing well. You've got Freddie Quilliam as well. And then given the opportunity to younger players to come in, like Noah Wood, and they've done really well. So I think Ryan Kelly's in a happy position at the moment. But as we're with Russian, they just want to keep challenging, try and move up from that seventh place that they're holding at the moment in the Premier League. And I think it's just a question of Wardle be picking his best team. It's a very young team at the moment, and he's just got to give those younger players the opportunity. And if they can get it together with the more experienced players there, they could make it difficult for Union Mills. But I'm going to go for one that probably people will be looking at for Russian to win. I'm going to go for Union Mills to take the 3 points.
Very well. And then up at Andreas playing fields, Ayr United 10th in the table at the moment this season, 21 points after 22 games. Just the 5 wins this season for Ayr United. As we've mentioned on a couple of occasions, Tony, of course, not really in keeping with Ayr United's high standards over the past few campaigns. They're going to be hosting the team just below them. Braddon in 11th, I say just below them. There's still 7 points between them. Both these sides certainly not troubled at the moment by what's going on in the two relegation places below them. But for both these teams, probably just looking for a little bit more security, a bit more confidence maybe.
Yeah, confidence is key, but also I think it's important to have a good finish towards the end of the season. And Ayr United, when you look at the trophy cabinet over the last 4 to 5 years, Rob, it's littered with winners' medals, and I'm certainly a fan at Tuff this year. They've lost, you know, two or three players to FC Isle of Man, not on a consistent basis, but it's still affected the rhythm of the team. But I think, you know, on that, they've changed it around a little bit and brought younger players in who've done really well. And I think certainly against Braddon, they'll fancy their chances. And you've got to remember a recent performance where they drew with Corinthians. So it just shows you that they are capable of that on the day. But with Braddon, good performances lately from people like Ryan Edwards. You've got sort of Mark O'Neill's back in that midfield role. Ben Woz has been a good signing for them just before, you know, the 31st of March. And when you look at Joel Ibanez, really good player in that midfield. And then I've got to look at Nick Harvey up front, who's been scoring plenty of goals. And I think alongside Ben Woz, it's a great partnership. And I'm going to go for Braddon to make it difficult here for Area United, and Braddon to take the win.
Very well. Also in the north of the island, Ramsey, eighth in the table at the moment on 24 points. They've only played 17, though, in the league, so the joint fewest along with bottom of the table Foxdale at the moment. So still ground to make up, could push into the top half of the league this season. And they are up against the team with the joint fewest games played. Foxdale at the bottom of the table, just the 3 points so far this season, 11 points from safety. But with still time to catch up, I guess, Tony.
I think they have, but when you look at Foxdale, they rely heavily on Jay Chatwood, their leading goal scorer. And, you know, he's an impressive player, makes it very difficult for any team, not only with his head because of the height he is, but also his feet. He can be tricky. And Matthew Cubbins being solid at the back. And when you look at other defenders in there, they've had tough times lately. You look at the 14 goals they conceded against sort of Corinthians, it doesn't help matters. But Jack Smith, you've also got Scott Cameen in there as well. They're good players. And when you've got Dean Bettridge up front, who's a promising young player coming through the system, then it's not all panic for them. And they've got some talent coming through at Foxdale. But when you look at Ramsey, they drew with Braddon last time 2-2. So it just shows you, you know, where they are. Callum Hudson, it was with a goal in that one. Matthew Jaunty as well. But I think certainly, I think one or two players are missing tomorrow for Ramsey, but they've still got good quality in there. Jamie Collett at the back, the Preston Cleeter and Harry Perry, good young players coming through the system there. And Dylan Pickles, if he starts, he'll make it difficult. I'm going to go for Ramsey to take the win.
The only game that isn't kicking off at 2:30 p.m. is the one mentioned next here in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, and arguably one of the pick of the ties this weekend. 1:45 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl, and it sees last weekend's ECAP FA Cup finalists, St Mary's. They're going to be hosting Peel now. The state of play at the top of the table. Peel in second. They're currently 5 points behind Corinthians at the top, but Corinthians without a game this weekend, and Peel have 3 games in hand on Corinthians as well, so plenty of time to make up ground. Up against the St Mary's team, Tony, that I believe as well that that defeat in the ECAP FA Cup final was their first loss in all competitions since November as well. And if St Mary's were to upset the odds this weekend, they could go up as many as 2 places, up to 3rd in the standings as well. So Peel with a chance to move to within 2 points of Corinthians, but do you anticipate St Mary's will make it difficult for them?
I don't know. It depends what St Mary's team they have out, because you look at midweek, they got beat by Onken 2-1 St Mary's. So it just shows you that, you know, there may be being a selection problem on there. Joe Burkhurst, I thought, was excellent in the FA Cup final. And St Mary's, the whole team played so well in that final, but it's showing that same performance in a league game. And, you know, Tom Callow played really well. And when you look at people who've been consistent, I think, right the way through the season, Tar Pumsai and also Therese Thompson, even though, you know, Therese at times can play out of position, but he always comes up with the goals. Let's have a look at Peel now, Rob, because it's at that business end now. They go close to Corinthians tomorrow. If they get those 3 points, they're 2 points behind them. Now let's have a look at the teams that they've got to play. They've got Ramsey at home, they've got Rushen at home, then Laxey away, I think it is, Old Boys away, and Union Mills. So, you know, that it's there for Peel, really, I think, to lose, because those teams there, apart from maybe Ramsey and Rushen, they should be able to sort of take the points. But, you know, Thomas Brownlee was superb in the last game there. 3 goals each for them. And with the performance of Israel Dunn and Scott Horn as well, you know, Peel are really strong. And 8-1 win against Foxdale shows you where they are. I'm going to go for Peel to beat St Mary's.
All right. St John's United, they're going to be hosting Douglas High School Old Boys this weekend. And Old Boys, of course, second from bottom in that final relegation spot as it stands, and 9 points from safety at the moment.
Yeah, if you look at Old Boys, I don't know if you noticed their goal scorer recently, Dan Hattersley, is playing for Old Boys. So with him there, there's a good chance for goals. And, you know, good performance of late from Callum Yates. And he can only learn from people like Dan. He's only a young player. Sam Holliday in goal has had busy times recently trying to keep things out. But you've got Ryan Gartland. Tommy Miller's back in the squad as well. He's back on the island. So all boys looking stronger. But, you know, St John's, when I watched them recently against Corinthians, it was, you know, tough going for them. I know they had a good spell start the second half, but, you know, Callum Taggart, Dean Leese, Dean didn't play in that game, but if they can get him in there. But James Rice in goal, he's a good goalkeeper. Joe Quayle in midfield. They've got the players, but I don't think Sam Ingham's available tomorrow. So it might just mean Andrew Chadwick slots into that centre-back role. I still think St John's have got enough to take the victory.
And the remaining Canada Life Men's Premier League game this weekend looks also an interesting one on paper, at least. Onken in fourth, they'll be hosting Laxey in third, both on 34 points, only separated at the moment, Tony, by goal difference in those two of those top four positions.
Yeah, this is the game I'm going to cover, Rob, and Onken had a superb win, as I say, midweek, 2-1 against St Mary's, and Tom Creer with the two goals, well done to him. You know, again, people like James Leese, you've got James McEwen in there, really good. I noticed that probably, to me, the two standout players for Onken this year have been Ethan Leavers, and I think Patrick Riley's been so solid at the back, but they were on the bench, so I don't know if they were injured. But Laxey have got Ed Canner back in amongst the goals. He got two in their last game, and with people like Charlie Robinson, Ethan Hawley, Tom Cowan, if he's fit, Adam Meelan as well, Nathan Pickering's been great in goal. I think Onken and Laxey are going to have a great battle. Who's going to win? I'm going to go for the point shared and go for a draw.
Very well. That's kind of the Live Men's Premier League. Turning to our Durham and Drigg Limited Division 2 going into this weekend. Colby still leading the way, 10 points clear of Castletown in second. Castletown have played a game less, but from Castletown's perspective, maybe not looking up at the moment is the priority for them, but looking over their shoulder, because in behind them in third and around, just 3 points further back, but having three games in hand as well. Turning to Colby, the league leaders first of all, a Southern derby for them this weekend. They'll host Maloo.
And that's not going to be easy because, you know, Colby, I think midweek against Ramsey Centre, 5-0. That was a pretty impressive result, and, you know, fair play to them. Jordan Edge, banging form. Steve Collister as well. Seb Spears amongst the goals. Greg Radcliffe will work hard defensively, midfield, whichever role he's got to take. And, you know, the other players, full of running, Jack Skillcorn, Ollie Edge, they just tie you down, but it's creating the goals. But Maloo, I think, when you look at the stats over the recent games, they've really played well. They've got 10 league games to play, Rob. So there's an awful lot of football for them to play. You know, people like Craig Cowan, Brandon Krippner, Kieran Krippner as well are in that team. Jay Gandy's a really good goalkeeper. And then probably the player of the season for them at the moment anyway is Paddy Cooper. So I'm going to go for a close battle, but I think Colby might just win it narrowly.
And speaking of Castletown in second, a tricky test for them. They're going to be coming up against the 2026 GH Corlett Woods Cup winners. They're at home to Ramsey Centre and Old Boys.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at it, they won the cup and then sort of, what was it, 3 days later, four days later, they lost to Colby 5-0. And well done to Leighton Ballard with a goal in the final. But they're going to have to ask him to step up. And himself, Dylan Bullock, if he plays in front, Tom Hall as well, maybe in front of goal. They'll really have a go. I was really impressed with Dylan Parrish in the final. I thought his work rate was tremendous. I don't know what age Dylan is, but he put a really good shift in, and you could just tell how much responsibility he passes on to the players around him. So he had a great performance. But, you know, Castletown, solid win 4-1 against Governors. Alex Crawley, Ross Crawford, Lucas Simmons, Ollie Lee, they score goals. You've got to go for Castletown to win.
And then Portrose United in fifth, they're going to be hosting Governors Athletic, who still have just that one win in 20 league games so far.
Yeah, I think this will be a little bit closer than maybe the league positions show, because Owen Canepa scored a goal recently. But, you know, Russell Dawson's been a busy keeper. And, you know, when you look at Brian James Lowther in there, they're a good side, Portrose, but Governors Athletic, they've just got to try and get the ball up front to people like Diogo Vicente or maybe David Kaye if he starts. Billy Sweeney's done a good job with Governors, but I just think Portrose will be a little bit sort of overpowering, and they'll get the win.
And at Glencrutchery Road, St George's in seventh, they're going to be hosting bottom of the table Douglaston District this weekend.
Yeah, and I had a sneaky look at D&D's new pitch. It's coming together quite nicely up at Nobles Park, Rob. So we'll see how the summer comes to get the grass to grow, but it's looking good. But St George's, great win recently against D&D, 7-0. And you just expect them to sort of challenge the same again. D&D got a makeshift team at the moment. Nice little blend, youth and experience. But I think Geordie's will be too strong.
And finally, in our Donal Drugger Limited Division 2 this weekend, the aforementioned Moran, again, just a reminder, 3 points off Castletown in second, but having played three games less. They're hosting Douglas Royal this weekend, and Moran, you would imagine, Tony, will not only still maybe licking their wounds a little bit from that Woods Cup final defeat last weekend, but if they were to get maximum points this weekend and Castletown were to slip up for whatever reason, they'll want to be in the mix, won't they?
Absolutely, and when you look at the league table, they've got an awful lot of football to go, because they've got 11 games, including this this one will be the take down to 10. But you know, Moran, you were there at the final. They were really disappointing, and I'm not being sort of cruel to them, but it just didn't happen. I've watched them two or three occasions this year, and they've been brilliant, and I just thought the amount of goals that they've been scoring up to the run-up of the final put them in good stead, but it just didn't happen. They didn't create enough. You know, people like Conor Gilbert and others who've had you know, great seasons just couldn't get past that Ramsey centre defence. Against Douglas Royal, that's going to be difficult as well. But I think they've just got enough, and I'm going to go for round to him.
Okay, that's our Donal Drugger Limited Division 2 turning to the Combination Leagues. Canada Life Combination 1 state of play at the top of the table is as follows. There's just 6 points separating the top four at the moment. Corinthians at the top, 48 points after 22 games. 3 points further back, but having played a game less, are Peel in second. And then on 43 points, so 2 points behind Peel in second, but all having played two games fewer than that, only 19, is Ramsey. And then 1 point off Ramsey in third is Onken in fourth, 42 points after 20 games. So 5 games in Combination 1 this weekend.
There is, and a lot of football being played in this as well, and it's everything to play for, because there's so many twists and turns that could happen. But I think at the moment you've still got to look at Ramsey to be the favourites. But Unimills against Rushen, I have to go with Rushen to win that, and they've got a big game coming up in rearranged fixtures against Ramsey shortly. Braddon against Ayr United. Braddon, I think, will be too strong. Ayr United struggled at times to get a team out. Foxdale against Ramsey. Foxdale bottom. Ramsey are sort of third and only played 19, the same amount of games as Foxdale. If you take the 3 points off that Foxdale have won on Ramsey, 40 points ahead of them. So it just shows you a big difference in that one. So you've got to go with Ramsey. Peel against St Mary's. Peel keeping the pressure on Ramsey and Corinthians. I'll go for Peel to win. Good win midweek. Old Boys against St John's. Old Boys just missed out midweek. They lost 4-3 to Corinthians. Old Boys to win. And Laxey against Onken. Onken keeping pressure. Fourth in the league. Laxey are just a little bit below on seventh, but they're capable if they get it together, Laxey. But I'm going to go for Onken to win.
Now, our Durham Drug Limited combination 2, Tony. Now, if we're talking title battles, this is arguably the pick of the bunch, isn't it? Because we've got three teams all on 52 points at the summit. Ramsey Ucentre and Old Boys lead the way by virtue of a plus 96 goal difference. So 52 points after 19 games. Then it's Douglas Athletic on 52 points after 20 games in second. Goal difference plus 84. In third, Pulrose United, 52 points after 19 games. Goal difference of plus 55. I think it's fair to say, Tony, this could be going right down to the wire at the moment, going toward the end of the season. 6 games planned in Combination 2 this Saturday.
Yeah, it is. And as you rightly say, with all those stats and you look at the goal differences, Ramsey Ucentre and Douglas Athletic aren't too far away from each other. Pulrose are a little bit behind on that one. But excuse me, let's have a look at the first one on the sheet, and that's Malou against Colby. I'm going to go for Colby to take victory there. Ramsey Ucentre and Old Boys against Castletown. Ramsey top of the table, would love to win this trophy. I think it'll be Ramsey Ucentre that win there. Governors Athletic against Pulrose. I'll go with Pulrose, but they've been missing a couple of players of late, which has kept their scores down. Douglas District against St George's. I'll go with St George's. Douglas Royal against Douglas Athletic. They're the team in the mix. They're splitting Ucentre and Pulrose, so I'll go for Douglas Athletic to win. And Michael United against Moran. I'm going to go with Moran.
All right, then. Before we take a look at Sunday, just a quick mention for FC Alamann, Tony, back on the road this weekend. The penultimate weekend fixtures, if you like, of the NWCFL Premier Division season. FC Alamann, just the one win in the last six and one victory since late February. They're on the road at Charnock Richard, a place where they've failed to win in three attempts so far, and especially after the bizarre developments that happened over the weekend against Prestwich Hayes last weekend. A bit of a reminder for people as well, the game abandoned on Saturday due to weather, and then on the Sunday when it's rearranged the following morning, Prestwich Hayes did not attend. Prestwich Hayes have since apologised for that and cited some of their reasons behind that, including what they say are issues around travel constraints and player welfare as well. Full details on the Manx Radio Sport page at manxradio.com. But FC Alamann back on the road this weekend, only after a midweek defeat, and Rick Holden said previously previously as well. He didn't want his team season to peter out. How do they go about lifting themselves for these last couple of games? 3 days and 7 days.
Yeah, it's always difficult with all the games cramming through. And then what happened in the game last Saturday against Prestwich Hayes, which, Rob, I've got to ask you the question because you're more on the pulse than me on that one, is have we had a decision on what's happening?
There has been no decision made on the fixture as of yet.
It's quite interesting because the Manx rules, we would ask both clubs, and if they were happy for the score to stand, it would stand. If both clubs couldn't agree, then it would be rearranged. You cannot, my understanding is, the guys that are in charge, so the league controllers, if you like, the Isle of Man FA with that Manx football, I think it's the English FA or the North West Counties there, you know, they can't say to a club you've got to play within 24 hours. That's my understanding. So I'm expecting the game to be replayed and it'll be on home soil. That's how our rules would work. But we'll wait and see. But certainly we don't want to see it finish off on a sour note for FC Isle of Man because they've done well. They've got their safety, which is what we wanted. And under Rick, they've done very well. So let's just hope he's got a good squad to pick from that can challenge for the points.
And very quickly, Tony, got around a minute or so here. We'll take a quick look at Sunday's fixtures. Three games of the Canada Life Women's League among those. Peel looking to maintain their 100% record at the top.
Yeah, and against Douglas Royal, it's a team that they played in the Floodlit Cup and they know them very well. I would expect Peel to win that one. I think Douglas Royal is a great pitch to play on, but I think it'll be just too tough for them.
And the other game sees Unimills host Russian United and Corinthians. They'll be welcoming Onken.
Yeah, the two new teams in the league, Unimills and Russian, have done really well. And they'll be hoping to try and get the points. Either of them will fancy their chances. And Corinthians against Onken. Onken at times haven't been able to field the team. So you have to go with Corinthians. But as a matter of, I think, when the Peel and Corinthians game comes up, it's a game that will decide who's going to win the league.
And just finally, Tony, one game in the Masters football this weekend.
Yeah, there is. And this one's probably going to go, to be honest with you, Rob. We need to speak to St Mary's. But there's a bit of a problem in this because we're working on half term. And also, Douglas High School All Boys did indicate that they wouldn't be able to field the team before the fixtures were put out. So it's one of them. And that game will probably end up getting rearranged.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much indeed, as always.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Turning now to motorsport, and racing action returns to the north of the island this weekend for the second round of the 2026 Andreas Racing Association Championships. The second race day of the campaign will take place at Jerby Airfield on Sunday, with bikes due to be out on track that day from around 9:30 a.m. What's more, another good turnout is expected across all 11 race classes, including an expanded sidecar field for this phase. ARA Club Secretary Neil Champion has been taking a look at what's to come, as well as reflecting on a successful curtain raiser to the season back on the 29th of March.
Fundamentally, it was a really, really excellent way to open the season. We had a great entry. The last time we had as many people riding was during the COVID years, when people couldn't really leave the islands, you know, and some really pretty good racing.
Looking ahead then to round two this weekend, the open class, the battle between Jamie Kringle and Rory Parker looks like it's going to be continuing yet again this year. From Rory Parker's perspective as well, to get those wins on the opening day, a bit of a benchmark, really, a bit of a statement.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jamie's no fool. He knows it's a long season, and he knows his way around. So he'll be looking to get his own back. So I think there's another really good race in store there. Further down the other classes, we've got a strong sidecar entry this weekend as well. I think we've got seven or eight outfits there as well, including the Crow brothers, Ryan and Callum. So they'll be out there showing everybody how to do it. Some multiple TT winners and lap record holders. In fact, they hold every lap record and every class win in sidecar racing on the Isle of Man at the moment.
The sidecar field that it is expanded for this weekend. Like you say, the reigning TT Southern 100 champions, and of course reigning sidecar driver and passenger championship champions in the ARA standings from last year as well. It's likely that they're going to set a pretty high benchmark this weekend. But what about the other teams and outfits in behind them as well? How good a test will that be?
I mean, I think in all sport, you get better by competing with people better than you. And I won't pretend that everybody's up at the same level as the Crows. That would be sensational if they were. But, we've got some good people out there as well. So we've got Dave great quirkers out there. Stu Bainbridge, Darren Hope and Lenny Bumfrey, they'll be in the TT as well. So they'll be making sure that everything is settled on their outfit for the TT this year. The Gale brothers, who used to ride together, have now split up because one of them wants to do the TT and the other one doesn't. So they're on different outfits as now. So there's a little inter-family rivalry there as well.
And elsewhere, away from that as well, obviously one of the other hotly contested classes throughout last season and probably going into the very early stages, of course, of this championship season was in the Super Sport class. We saw some great battles between the likes of Grant Thompson and Kyle Casement last year. What was that like?
Again, a good weekend. I won't fish out the results as well, but decent field and pretty hot at the front. And again, we got Kyle Casement, Paul Cassidy, Sam Norton, Grant Thompson, Dave Rigby, Reese Callister, all out there vying for it. So they'll be within a second or so a lap of each other on their lap times. I think they'll be challenging all the way through to the end.
On a more general note, for both solo and sidecar competitors, I guess, and you've already sort of alluded to it, the road race season is fast approaching. The Alaman TT race is really not that far away as well. So for a lot of these riders and teams out there, how good a preparation can the likes of the ARA Championship rounds be for them to get things in order for when those big road racing events come around?
Well, clearly it's a short circuit, so it's not road racing, but there is no substitute to bike time. I mean, all these serious guys spend time in the gym and looking after their fitness, but being on the bike and being bike fit is a different thing. There's no substitute for that. And obviously they've got to shake the bikes down and make sure everything holds together. Derby is a short circuit, but it's still got a few bumps in it as well. So they've got to make sure it handles over the bumps as well there. So, you know, it's not road racing, but it's the closest thing that they're going to get to it, really.
For anyone who's looking to head up to Derby Airfield this weekend and see what's going on, what can you tell us about what's happening across Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday is our test day. So it's just riders and teams testing their bikes, going out, doing some laps and around. We'll have bikes on track from 9:30 and pretty much a short lunch break, but otherwise there'll be bikes going around pretty much the whole day there. It's only £3 for adults to get into to look at that. Under 16s are free. Sunday is race day. We will be starting qualifying at about 9:30. The first race, I think from memory, will be about 11:30-ish. We'll be running a few races before lunch, a short lunch break, and then the rest of the programme, which is actually 15, 16 different races on the day. The rest of the programme will run through the afternoon. £6 for adults to get in there, and again, under 16s are free.
That was ARA Club Secretary Neil Champion ahead of the second round of the 2026 Andrus Racing Association Championships this Sunday. Test session taking place the day before on Saturday, the 11th of April. A reminder as well for anyone particularly travelling from like the west or the south or the east of the island towards the north of the island this weekend. A reminder, only the southern section of the mountain road is open this weekend from the Craignabar to the Bungalow. Coming up after the break, we'll be taking a look at rugby. Could be now or never for Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest. Also look at hockey and triathlon. News is next.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is approaching 5 minutes past six and turning our attention to another busy weekend of Manx rugby, both here on home soil and further afield. Now or never, really, for Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest in their final game of the regular season. They've got the toughest task there is, on paper at the very least, this weekend when they head on their travels. Vagabonds and Ramsey back in action in County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League. And also what could be a pivotal game in the Manx Shield. Could Douglas Celts wrap up the title this weekend? We'll have to wait and see. Joining us once again this evening is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. And Dave, first of all, we've got to turn our attention to Douglas. I think I said it a few weeks ago, I asked you the question, is it now or never for Douglas? Well, it really is now or never, because they need to pick up some big points on the road this weekend, and they're up against the Regional 2 Northwest champions elect North Ribblesdale. So much on the line, Dave, and it looks like a mammoth task for Douglas this weekend.
Yeah, for sure, Rob. They're drinking in the Last Chance Saloon and many other comparisons can also be made. North Ribblesdale are no longer champions elect. They can't now be caught. They're 11 points clear at the top of the table with only one game remaining, so no one can catch them. They're confirmed as league title. Now, I'm not sure whether that's good news or bad news for Douglas. Good news, potentially. North Rib don't need to put out a big strong side. They can allow some of their fringe players to run out. gain experience with some of their younger players. It's not a game that they have to win. They're champions. They're going to be promoted no matter what. However, sometimes clubs do like to finish off a high, but North Rib have lost four times already this season, so it's not like they're going to go for an unbeaten run. So I'm not certain that they'll have a full-strength side out. Douglas, of course, do have to put full-strength side out. They desperately need points. They are in the promotion playoff places right now, but they only have a two-point buffer against Burnage, who are just behind them, and three-point buffer with Widnes. Now, the fixtures this weekend may play into Douglas's hands. Burnage are away at Sandbach. Sandbach are confirmed in the promotion playoff, no matter what happens in this game. But Burnage desperately need points. And Widnes, they've got a home game against Birkenhead Park, who are just behind them in the standings. So things are really, really close. And I think we're probably going to be pressing the refresh button on the RFU results page come 5 o'clock tomorrow, just to find out exactly what's happened. But Douglas, destiny is in their own hands. If they can take 3 points or more from this game against North Ribblesdale, it doesn't matter what the other results are, they will get that one of those promotion playoff spots. And I think the playoffs will be starting pretty quick as well, probably next week or the week after. So in destiny and Douglas's hands, 3 points will get them in there. And 3 points could be a draw with four tries. That would be enough. And that's the only way they could do it if they don't win the game. If they win the game, they're going to get four, at least potentially five, and that will solve the problem. They can't catch Sandbach, they can't catch Vale of Lune, but they just need to stay ahead of Burnage and Widnes. And the last time they were out, Douglas needed that big win at home. They picked that one off, and the results elsewhere went their way. So the gods are smiling on Phil Kringle and his team right now, and he's not quite full strength, the team. I'm sure you'll have that very shortly, but I think the changes in the team, John Dutnell coming into the back row, that's a big shout. The back line is pretty much as is. They're still missing the captain, Blake Snell. He's got a finger injury, I understand, that's not related to rugby. He's picked that up at work. So he's going to be out probably for the rest of the season. But as things stand, they've got a strong team. They're on a winning run again now. Fingers crossed for them tomorrow.
So the Douglas team to face North Ribblesdale in the Regional 2 Northwest final regular league game of the season. Douglas' starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 are as follows. It's Connor Garland, Josh Campbell, Simon Hoddenott, Ethan Kermode, Harry Cartwright, John Dutnell, Blake Everson, Captain Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Josh Duncan, Kyle Martin, Craig Martin, Harry Hewson, Zach Wickman and Sheldon Higgins, and three substitutes for Phil Kringle's side. They are Ralph Clark, Shea Waterworth and Ollie Corkish. Elsewhere, Ramsey and Vagabonds back in County Street ADM Lancashire and Cheshire Minor Conference League action, both on home soil this weekend. Turning first to Ramsey, Dave, they'll be hosting Ormskirk at the Morag Park.
Yeah, things are a little bit buoyant, I guess, in the Ramsey camp, despite the poor season. They've got a Cheshire final coming up against Hoylake in a couple of weeks' time, and hopefully, got my fingers crossed that the travel people smile on me in the right direction, will be there to cover that one for Saturday Live. That's on the 25th, though. Tomorrow is Ormskirk. Ormskirk visited the Murrick Park earlier this season. They were 30 points to 5 up at half-time, and by that stage, somebody in the Ramsey team pressed the right buttons and they finally came back into the game and finished 42-24 to Ormskirk, and it was a belt in second half. The trouble is Ramsey have not had the consistency this season. They've struggled a little bit to get the same team out week in, week out. Tomorrow is a good team out. They're bringing Rory Nicholson back into the front row. I think it's only his third start of the season. Hooker Ben Hardman's back from injury. And Josh Kateen, the captain, he's been struggling with a hamstring. He's declared himself fit to play. So he's going to captain the side from number 8. And Harvey Collister back in on the flank as well. The back line is pretty much unchanged. The only change from the last time out, I think, is Scott Neal's going to come in at centre. And on the bench, we've got Ross Quayle come back into the team. And Adam Clark, who's been out for a little while as well. So some players returning from what's been a difficult period for Ramsey with injury. But they are still missing Jake Richmond, who's got a shoulder problem from the game against Oral, and Finlow Corkle in the back row. He's got a broken cheekbone, so that's probably him done for the rest of this season. But apart from those two, Ramsey are looking quite strong, and will fancy their chances. Ormskirk not gone so well in the early stages of phase two of this competition, the minor conference, but they've moved up the table a little bit, although they have lost to Duckenfield, who Ramsey have beaten, and they lost to Hoylake, who Ramsey beat in phase one of the competition. So the opportunity is there for Ramsey to pick up some late season points and give themselves a bit of a morale boost.
Indeed. So the Ramsey squad to face Ormskirk is in. So you're starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order are as follows. It is Adam Dunlop, Ben Hardman, Rory Nicholson, Josh Kelly, Ben Gelling, Harvey Collister, Matthew Meakin, Captain Josh Cateen, Dan Kelly, Tom Moffat, Braden Roche, Scott Neal, Kieran Neal, Will Millsop and Luke Ward. Three substitutes available for Ramsey. They are Matt Livesey, Ross Quayle and Adam Clark. Elsewhere, you mentioned Hoylake, Dave. They are going to be on the island this weekend ahead of that Cheshire competition encounter with Ramsey, because they're going to be facing Vagabonds at Ballafletcher.
Indeed they are, and Vagabonds are a team a little bit on the up. They've been going really well since Christmas, and things are looking good for them going into the late stages of this competition. They're not going to be in a chance of winning. That unfortunately has gone out the window because they didn't have enough points, I think, carried forward from phase one. I think we're probably going to see Hoylake, Duckensfield, or potentially Ormskirk up there at the top. But Faggers are giving it a good shot, though. They've won two out of four in phase two, and go into this home advantage as well against the team they drew against, I think, in phase one. It was a 19-all draw. It was Vagabond's first points of the season. So they know they've got nothing to fear from Ormskirk, and I'm sure they'll be giving it their best shot tomorrow. I think the game is going to be at a very early kickoff. It's going to be 12:30. That's because Hoylake are returning on the last flight out of the Isle of Man on a Saturday, which is, from memory, 5:30. Ramsey are a little bit more favourable there in their game against Ormskirk. Ormskirk are staying overnight. But no luck for Vagabonds with Hoylake, so that will have to be the early kickoff for them. But, you know, like I said, things are looking good. They've named a strongish team. Best they've got at this stage of the season. They're really missing Joe Lowe, I think, from the front row, but he's out for the rest of this season if he ever comes back at all. He picked up a nasty shoulder injury in the game against Ramsey a little bit earlier on in the season. That was back in February off the top of my head. So Joe Lowe missing, but Reece Oliveira is going to be in there to fill in the gaps. I think the big change probably in the Vagabonds team is Jack Cutts is going to come in at 10, and the captain, Dan Bonwick, who's going to play another position tomorrow, according to the team sheet I've seen at least. Bonwick named himself at number 8, so he's played in the 7 shirt, the 8 shirt now, 9 and 10, and he can probably play anywhere else you ask him as well. And he's good for it. He's worth 10 points on the pitch. So, yeah, Vagger's got a great opportunity tomorrow. Just the same as Ramsey. Home advantage, late stage of the season. Throw everything at it and see what happens at the end.
Indeed. And just very quickly, Dave, we've got 2 minutes here. Just a quick mention for the other game taking place tomorrow in the Hartford Holmes Manx Shield. 2:15 kickoff at Ballafletcher. Douglas Celts up against Western Vikings, and Celts could secure the Manx Shield title if they scored more than 1 point this weekend.
Indeed, yeah. Douglas have been going great guns all season. A mixture of youth and experience, and of course some of those fringe players from their first team. I've not seen a Celts team name just yet, but that won't be too far away. Percy Hampton's been leading the team, and his unique style is probably the best way to describe it. But Percy's a cracking lad, and he's done a great job with the Celts. They've beaten Western Vikings every game they've played them so far. You're right, they only need the 1 point. They can get that by scoring 4 tries, and it doesn't matter what happens for the rest of the game. But I suspect Douglas want to go with a high here. They have got an opportunity for a Hartford Holmes Cup and Shield double, because they're in the Manx Cup final against Southern Nomads. That's coming up on the 2nd of May off the top of my head. Congratulations to Douglas. They've put themselves in pole position. They don't need too much. Western Vikings will have Ed Knight. He's not been named in the Vagabonds team, but Harry Goodwin has been named in the Vagabonds team, and Harvey Cole's been named in the Ramsey team. So Vikings possibly missing two influential players there who are having a go at their league rugby, but Ed Knight back to lead them. It's their final game of the season. They'll have an annual dinner coming up and an AGM. They'll want to finish on a high. They ran Douglas to within 10 points in one of the earlier matches, but I don't see them doing it. This should be a reasonably straightforward job for Douglas Celts to pick up the point they need and claim the Hartford Holmes Manx Shield title.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much. And actually, just in the last couple of moments, we've had the Douglas Celts team. So the starting 15 for Douglas Celts tomorrow against Western Vikings in the Manx Shield as follows. Aaron Mason, Dave Sherwin, Chris Bolland, Matty Clegg, Alfie Howard, Craig McGee, Tumbiko Chenda, Captain Percy Hampton, Jonty Shimin, Callum Dentith, Joey Dale, Sam Clark, Mark Oldfield, Lewin Scarfe and Fred Atherton. And the substitutes, a big bench for Douglas Celts tomorrow. That is Connor O'Kelly, that's also Connor McCocken, Mark Shortland, George Hartley, Carl Conroy, Carl Markle Ferns, Jack Rowlands, Jack Moore and Tembinkeza Mavusa as well for that particular game. Coming up after the break, we're going to be taking a look at hockey and one of the Isle of Man's national junior sides getting prepared for an England Hockey Championship final this weekend. Also taking a look at what's been going on with preparations fully underway for what looks set to be a busy and exciting 2026 Manx triathlon season. Back in just a few moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
You're listening to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 20 minutes past six. Turning the spotlight now to hockey. And one of the Isle of Man's junior national squads will be getting a shot at glory in the England Hockey Championships this weekend. The Isle of Man under-14 boys team heads to Nottingham tomorrow to face Guildford in the final of the EH under-14 boys Tier 2 Knockout Championships. They'll be the third Manx national side to make an England Hockey Championship final in the last 3 years. And ahead of their trip, under-14 coach Niamh Goddard says all the players they work with have come a long way over the last few seasons.
It's such a milestone in the junior hockey setup. We've been going now for probably 7 years, and this is the first time we've made a championship final. We have made for plate competition finals before, but this really is something for us, and it's particularly good for this squad. We've had them now for majority of them for 3 years working on them, and they've just all come together, and it's really great, and it's great for all the squads to see that it is possible to do this, and these will go up through right up to 18 together, and hopefully we'll have as much success behind them. We've had a really good under 14 girls set up this year, so the future is bright, as they say.
Like you say, progression over the last few years as well. What are the key things that have progressed over the last couple of years that's meant that this team in particular on this occasion has been able to reach this particular point?
It's hard to say, really. I think you go through years when you have a lot in a cohort and not so many. And we just seem, I think maybe the junior setup the way it is in the Isle of Man with junior hockey, like the under 10s and 12s and then moving to the under 15s, we just seem to have got through a lot of the same age, and that's really important because then they stay together, and that's what's happened this year, and hopefully now that will carry forward. You know, I've been down at the under 12 tournaments and things watching all the players, and it's looking really good that we'll get another cohort coming through that will be really strong. You need depth and numbers for this, and that's what we've had this year.
For the players themselves and those involved, you know, how excited are they to be involved in something like this, another exciting trip away from the island?
They love their trips away, but yes, it is, and we've had a lot of trips this year, and you know, it's been such a goal for them, and it was really exciting when they got through the semi-final knowing that they'd be going to Nottingham to play in the final. So they've worked really hard for this, as all the squads have through, you know, we've had teams in the semi-finals and everything. Everybody has worked really hard, and we've had a lot of issues with travel and distances we've had to travel this year. So just for everybody to see a team in the final is really positive.
One thing you mentioned there, travel as well. Away from getting the results on the pitch, there's so much that goes in behind it, as anyone in Manx hockey or indeed Manx sport will know as well, is that there's all the travelling, there's having to stay overnight in some cases, not just the players, but the coaches, the parents and guardians as well. You know, how proud are you of everyone involved in being able to make this happen for not just this team, but other Manx teams as well to get these opportunities?
Yeah. It is. I think living on the island does make them a lot stronger. Somebody said we've made them hard as nails. You know, we've had such travel delays. They've got to the hotel at 2:30 in the morning. We've been up on the pitch at 9:30 to play, to get back on the boat. So they just dig deep, and it's made them a lot stronger. And no matter what happens at the weekends or travel, they'll just they just get there and just do the job, and that's they've kind of come around to that, and that's what they do.
And not just this team, but if you look back over the last couple of years of Manx teams reaching England Hockey Championship finals, last year we had the senior ladies B team, and a couple of seasons before that the under 16 boys went and won their competition as well. What do you think it's saying at the moment of Manx hockey and the work that the likes of yourselves and others are doing in terms of the standard of junior hockey on the Isle of Man, that it's they're proving themselves against some really good clubs in the UK?
Oh yeah, we've played some really good teams. One of the like the mighty, as we'd say, mighty Beeston over the years, Guildford, that's who they have on Saturday. We've had those teams and we've matched them, and that's what's brilliant. And it gives our players here, you know, on the island an opportunity to see what's in England and the standards, and they set themselves those goals to be as good as those players for when they may go off to university or move across. And it's really good for the development. You know, we have the setup to develop players, but we enter the competition to just stretch them that bit more, and that's exactly what it's done.
Just what would it mean to all of you if the under 14 boys were to win the championship this weekend?
It'd be fantastic. It really has been 8 years in the making. We had at the very, very beginning, we had a really strong side, and we were in the semi-finals, and COVID came along and knocked it out. And we've been, and they were aiming for that championship final. So since then, we've just had this as such a goal, and it's been great that we're just there this year, and we could make it.
Regardless of the results at the weekend, how much confidence do you think it'll give the team and yourselves in what you're doing? The fact that you've already reached this stage. Of course, you want to win; that's a given. But to be at this point, what will it do for the confidence of everyone involved?
Oh, it's made everybody so confident. Like the other girls that are the same age, they got knocked out in the quarters, but they know that it's within striking reach, and seeing the boys get there has made them feel they all move up next year as a group, which is really good, and that'll be their goal next year, and it means it's doable, it's achievable, and that's what it's all about.
Niamh Goddard there. Best of luck to the Isle of Man under 14 boys hockey team. That match, their EH Championship final, getting underway at Nottingham Hockey Centre tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
And finally tonight, we're taking a look at triathlon, and preparations are well underway for what's hoped to be another busy triathlon season on the Isle of Man in 2026. This year also includes a new addition to the main schedule, which runs from this month all the way through until September. One of those expected to be involved is Manx Tri Club member and 2025 Island Games medalist Clara Isaac. She sat down with Manx Radio this week to explain what's to come in the sport over the coming weeks and months.
We've got a really exciting year this year, so we've got some great events coming up. We've also got some fantastic new sponsors with, you know, great ties to the triathlon community, so really excited to welcome them this year and get the calendar going. So our first event is coming up soon. It's on the 25th of April, and that's the online payroll junior triathlon at the NSC. So that's age ranges between 8 and 14. You know, really exciting for youngsters coming up. The entry is all available online now, and it's normally a very, very popular event, all based at the NSC. So it's all quite close, easy to get to, and a really, really exciting event for young ones coming up. Then soon after, we have the FIM Capital Sprint Triathlon, and that's coming up on the 10th of May. So, you know, the season is really starting to kick off. It's a great event. It has, you know, all age ranges and teams. You have to be older than 15 to take part in that event. But always a really exciting event. That's a pool swim up at Ramsey. And then the bike and the run are all up north as well. So the bike goes round by Bride, and the run's round the Morag. And then we're really excited that this year we're introducing the Paddy Crookall Manx Middle Distance. It's a half Ironman distance event, is what most people would kind of know it as. A real big challenge, very popular all over the world at the moment. And we have got some fantastic entries for that. And the entries are still open. That's up north, and it's in the Morag Lake Swim. So you'll need your wetsuit for that one, unless it's a really hot day. But a really, really exciting event, sponsored by Ramsey Crookall. And then last of all, we've got the Billboards Triathlon Championships at the 6th of September. So that's the same event every year. We have a sprint and we have a standard distance category. And we also have teams in all three of these events as well. So no teams for our junior triathlon, just for the sprint, middle distance and for the championship. So everyone can get involved from all different sports. I'm hoping for good weather and a really good set of events this year.
The half Ironman distance, the interest seems to have grown. Well, it seems like a lot of endurance sports, whether it's triathlon, whether it's purely focused on running and whatnot, just in the last few years, things seem to have exploded in certain nations across the world. Why might that be, I suppose? I mean, maybe just from a triathlon sense on your side of things, why so many more people have been getting involved in the last few years?
It's such a great achievement. And, you know, what an amazing thing to be involved in, you know, sport and health and really pushing yourself to the limits. I think it's absolutely fantastic why it's become so popular. You know, it's the same with marathons. And I think, as we were talking about after COVID, you know, a lot of us had stepped into kind of the realm of sports. And it is a really incredible way to test yourself. And, you know, it doesn't matter what age you are, I think is really important. So when you're racing these distances, it can be, you know, like 18-year-olds right the way up. I think that one of the ladies who did the World Championships half Ironman, or I think she was full Ironman, was 82 years old. So it is not age discriminatory. You can continue to improve as you get older. And what kind of sport, you know, can you do that in? You see it in running. You definitely see it in triathlon. And I think that's what makes it so impressive and, you know, really enticing, is you've got loads of opportunity.
That is Ireland Games medalist Clara Isaac looking ahead to the 2026 Alaban triathlon season. You can listen to the full extended interview with Clara Isaac looking ahead to the latest triathlon campaign via the Manx Radio Sportscast over at manxradio.com. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Many thanks to our guests, correspondents Tony Meppam and Dave Christian, and also to guests this week, Neil Champion, Niamh Goddard and Clara Isaac. Have a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.